time, everybody.
Welcome back.
We're back after a week off. It seems 2023 has been unforgiving. And
you got that right.
Our boy here has also gotten the COVID. Are you still testing positive as of today?
I haven't done it today. I did it yesterday, and yesterday was still positive. And it's just one of those things you can't shake. I had gone forever. I never got it. It finally caught up to me.
Yikes. What about the symptoms? Are they still there? Because you seem in bright spirits. This
symptoms...
time last week, you were saying, I'm feeling icky. You were in an icky mode.
I was icky last week, more like exhausted. You know, it was like in a movie when you see the soul being pulled out of somebody. That's what it felt like.
Yes,
this
the fatigue,
week,
I remember.
It feels like a bad cold.
Well, when I had it, we appropriately did a cast on sickness horror,
right?
Or viral horror.
We did.
But we're kind of doing the opposite of that, where this is the opposite of feeling down, whereas we're talking cocaine bear today
talking
on episode 48.
Cocaine bear, which is probably where I got COVID. No, I love this movie. I love this movie.
I loved it a lot, too. It was much better than I figured it was going to be. And I went in with high hopes, too. But, you know, in the back of your head, you're always going to be like, there's no way this can live up to the title.
Right.
And it does. And then, you know, goes beyond. You saw it in the theater with people, obviously.
Yes.
What was the reaction of those there with you?
It was funny because it was just like a bunch of guys. We were all scattered out. Like, you could just see one guy walking in by themselves. Clearly, nobody wanted to see it with us. It was like a weird, like, stepfather's day.
Oh, my goodness.
Ours
was varied. We had a lot of couples, a lot of groups, too. And there was laughs galore. I feel like watching this with an audience really added to
how awesome it was.
Because... just like something, I feel like I missed some jokes because people were laughing
right.
So much at times. But yeah, absolutely great movie. We're going to tell you right off the bat, we're going to spoil the hell out of it. And you got to go see it if you hadn't. Turn this off now, come back and listen. But where do we even start?
Here's where I'd like to start. The opening credits is an homage to Wet Hot American Summer. It is the same track that Wet Hot American Summer opens with, which is Elizabeth Banks is in that movie. She directed this movie, and it's, oh my God, it's such an epic song. I don't know the title of it.
And
but
her husband is, I'm pretty sure it's Jefferson Airplane's Jane.
Yes,
you're talking about
right.
The very opening scene in the plane, right?
Do-do-do.
So you got Jefferson
yes.
Airplane. People know them the most from like White Rabbit, I would say, more than any other song is what they're known for. This one is perfect for it because it's one of those songs that if you were doing uppers, you would listen to because it gets you all pumped up.
Yes.
So that's her husband, actually, that was the gentleman in the beginning in the plane who, you know, hits his head and ends up falling out to his death after having dropped, 30 kilos?
I
remember at some point they actually said how much it was, and I wanted to look up how much that was worth, but I didn't want, you know, Mother Hubbard, USA, Uncle Sam, whatever the hell, knowing I'm looking up how much that stuff is worth. So I didn't. But it's 30 kilos were dropped, and all we know is that one of those bags alone is worth $14 million. So, hence, the urgency of the bad guys to retrieve it. Bad guys, though, is an interesting way to put them, because there's really only one bad guy, because his henchmen, one being his son and one being Dr. Dre's son, were amazing.
Yeah.
And they had such great, like, bromance chemistry going for them that,
now
I wouldn't call them bad.
The guy in the plane is actor Matthew Reese, I thought.
Is it? And he's not married to Elizabeth Banks?
He's married to Carrie Russell.
Oh, that's what it is. Yes, my bad. He's married to Carrie Russell.
From Americans, which they're both from the TV show The Americans. And he had such a small part, but the minutes he has on screen, he stole the show. I mean, this guy is living his best life. That's all I wanted to say about that. But you're right. The henchmen are sort of like your main characters in this movie. And
No, I feel like it's a beautiful ensemble. I wouldn't even give them a name. I feel like everyone really, nobody got short shrift in this film. Just to backtrack, I haven't seen The Americans. Do I have to see it? Because I've tried to watch that pilot, I don't know how many times. They're falling asleep. We had something better I felt like I was going to do, but I can't get through the pilot. But everyone tells me how good it is.
I never really got super into it, so I don't think you have to watch it.
The opposite of this in the way that that pilot of The American started, that song, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, turns me off immediately.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch it just based on that song, but we got some Jefferson Airplane at the top of this. I'm in. I'm all in.
Right.
Great opener. Then hit us with the... Well, then we have the instance...
There's a really brilliant moment with in the titles in the beginning that they quote Wikipedia. It got a great laugh. It basically tells you how different bears react, and like black bears and brown bears. And I forgot, there's this really great scene with the couple who are hiking up to the top of the Appalachians, right? Aren't we in Appalachia?
We are actually in a really funny, it exists, the Chattahoochee.
That's right, Chattahoochee.
Chattahoochee National Forest.
Correct.
In Georgia. But it was filmed in Ireland.
Is that right?
For those who didn't know, yes.
That's fun.
Elizabeth Banks has talked a lot about how. Actually, I heard an amazing story from her. I think she was maybe on The View talking about how, because of course, we should note at the top, this is the last movie of our boy Ray Liotta.
Yes.
And when she was asked, like, how do you remember him? What do you take from this experience? She was just like, you know, I don't remember anything from the movies. I loved Goodfellas. I love him in this one. But what I really remember is being inside of a restaurant and seeing him walk by, obviously having just gotten coffees with his lady, coffees in hand, arm in arm, and laughing together. It just seemed like such a beautiful memory to have of Ray Liotta. Everyone imagines him as such a tough, tough guy. And of course, in this one, he is not a nice guy. And he gets his.
He's not a good father, grandfather, or boss, really.
No, that's for sure.
Terrible, terrible human in this movie.
But you're right. The Wikipedia thing is hilarious. It tells you that if you see a black bear, you want to act big. You want to act like tough and kind of like...
Right.
Act like you're going to fight it. Do the, you know, what do they call that? The front. You want to front with the black bears. But if it's a brown bear, you better lay dead.
Yeah. Christoph, I forget his, from Game of Thrones, he said if it's...
Yes.
He said if it's brown, lay down or something. He's got a really great...
Yeah. Yes.
If it's, if it's black, you should attack.
I'm going to be running no matter what.
Oh,
I don't know how I don't run. And that's exactly what they do. Elsa, his fiance. Immediately runs, but I do want to note this is such a it's a short opener, and it's really I care about both of these characters, even though she's certainly doomed immediately.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is my biggest like happiness of this movie is that every single character was well developed and dynamic, and there was no static stock characters.
Right.
For a movie that otherwise would be nothing but that, I feel like they totally transcended what the title is by having even this woman Elsa at the beginning, who's wearing a cowboy hat, who wants to name their first son Texas.
Yeah.
his dismay. And he wants to have his brother's band play at their wedding. And she does not. Well, she said something really funny, though.
She was like, yes.
He's
or shit. Yeah.
He says, my brother's band is super, super good. She's like, no, his singing is shit. Exactly. I just liked them a lot. And it was, thankfully, we didn't know them so much that I didn't care when she gets pulled into the bush and then her leg thrown out. That kind of thing is a little cheesy. That happened a couple times where there's just like limbs thrown by, you know, prop guys. But it didn't matter because it cuts to the bear screaming and then distracted by a butterfly. You can't go wrong with that.
That's right. This bear is out of his mind on drugs. And not just, you know, and something that I thought was hilarious that I did not expect throughout the movie was that the bear, because you've got to keep this movie moving, And the way they do that is they establish that the bear loves cocaine and and is now addicted to it and will do anything for it. Because when you really think of like this, you know, this is based off of a true story. You can't imagine that the bear actually develops any type of, you know, addiction. But the way they've got
The bear died in real life.
Yeah, it's got to have died on an overdose. But I was thinking, like, there's no way that it may have been funny if they did it accidentally. Like, the bear keeps accidentally getting cocaine up his nose. But no. This bear is seeking it out now and can smell it, which is just drives this whole movie.
Yes, he's got quite the sniffer, and he can smell like a mile away, which is, it drives her. We got to keep mentioning that it is a mother.
Yes, you're right. It's a mother.
Later,
bear.
We see what a protective mother she ends up being. But speaking of like how the cocaine is done, let's talk about the fun scene with the two kids. Who are going they kind of like sneak away from their parents. We never see this kid Henry's parents, which I love. Like, he's such an amazing character. And to see the dynamic between his friend's mom and him, because it's really them walking along, it's such an unusual dynamic. And I feel like it was well executed, and they're both so fun together.
Right. And yet, this little boy Henry, we don't meet his parents, but they are still described. Like, we know of his dad, and they give you just amount of character information that you kind of like know that his dad, I think they just described that like his dad has done coke.
Yes, indeed. He seems like a little bit of a sketch character, and it kind of makes sense that maybe he's looking toward Keri Russell's, I think it's Sari or Sari, I don't know how to pronounce her name. S-A-R-I.
Right.
But it seems like she's kind of his surrogate parent in this. Which I love. He is kind of the highlight, I would say, actor-wise, because a lot of these people we've seen before, and we know they're good, right? But this Henry kid, I saw him in the Netflix one, Sweet Tooth. He's kind of the lead kid in that.
He's
got antlers.
Fantastic.
Great in that.
He's fantastic.
This, I felt like he was even better in. Just some of the deliveries were so good. And as I was noting, that scene between him and his friend where they find the first brick of cocaine and... She's like, have you done this before? Oh, yeah. I do it with my friend after church.
After church.
we'll do some now. Well, we're exercising now. I don't know if this is... I don't like to do it when I'm exercising.
Right.
And then, of course, how do you... Okay, so how do we do this? Now, the way she cut into it was like so baller. It was straight out of Scarface.
right.
And how do you do it? And then they like,
They lick it.
Scoop up a ton and... put it in their mouth
and
cough
it. They spoon it instead of
so
snorting.
So funny. It was such a great moment.
Something I think, I'm not sure if I picked up on this while I was watching this the first time. Maybe you did. But you said the hiker's name, her name was Elsa?
Her name was Elsa, but I didn't catch his name.
His name is Olaf. So they're both characters out of Frozen.
That's perfect. I was thinking about the Elsa bit, but that's exactly what
Olaf
they were like.
Olaf and Elsa are trouncing through the forest.
That's hilarious. And that's another thing I forgot to mention just now is
that's
that
good.
You see the American tourist like being silly and stupid and getting themselves into trouble in all other movies. It's so rare that you see a tourist in the States or tourists, a tourist couple in the States kind of doing that, blundering here. And I really liked that it felt like it was a flip-flop of what we normally see trope-wise.
I think that's a great call.
And I also want to mention in their opening scene, you get a little Jurassic Park homage because you see the big foot print
with the
puddle of the bear's foot. I just love that action. How can you not?
Do you think this little boy has a crush on the little girl and that's why he'll do anything? He's ditching school for her? Or are they
Best
friends?
I think I'm going to go best friends with it. I don't want to. I mean, granted, at that age, I definitely had crushes on girls in elementary school, 100%. But I think it has more to do with the home, even though she's a single mom, is more stable than his home sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's
that.
More about the unit than. And the way that these two are dressed up, too, she's wearing a beret and he's wearing a fishing hat. It's just like such iconic characters, you know? They're meant to be Funko Pops sort of thing.
Right. They're almost like different versions of like a Wes Anderson characters, you know?
Definitely. Wes Anderson plus Tim Burton combined. Where else are we going? Oh, yeah, okay. So we get these tourists where she's torn to shreds. He runs off. But then we have a funny cut to Pee Wee Herman.
Oh,
with his PSA.
That's right.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah, because we're in the middle of Reagan and Nancy Reagan's war on drugs.
Right.
So this is your brain on drugs, Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I don't remember Pee Wee doing that. Pee Wee of all people should not be like moralistic. I love Pee Wee. I think as a kid, he was like one of the funniest guys in the world, and I think I was him for Halloween for sure.
Sure.
That's just the irony now, looking back at him, be like,
kids, I don't know if you should be doing this. It's serious stuff,
you know?
Yeah, and then he whips his penis out in a movie theater or something.
Yeah.
It's like, don't do drugs, but do whatever else you want.
So they go from the PSA real footage to actual real news footage of what happened with the real bear that, you know,
which
ended up dead with it.
There's a few scenes in this movie where they jump from, you know, your cinematic widescreen down to your 4:3, which really I thought it was effective as far as like grounding it in reality. That, you know, as insane as this movie and this idea is, it's based off of a true story.
Yeah.
Drugs were really talked about on TV constantly. But whether they're PSA or they're in the news, and that news story really made it feel that much more, you know, real. And
it did.
Yes.
But what it cuts to, I think, then helps remind you that it's not, because then we're introduced to my favorite character of the movie, maybe next to the kid. But I think I like Isaiah Whitlock Jr.'s Bob the detective.
Okay. Yeah.
More than any other character in the movie. Every time he came on, people were laughing.
Yeah.
Because he does so much with so little. It's absolutely ridiculous. This character, he's got a history hunting down Ray Liotta's Sid. And when he starts going on and on about his dog, and he talks to his deputy or whatever, Officer Reba, because she has a dog too, so he confides in her. He asks her, what kind of dog do you have? And she's like, I got a border collie. And he's like, oh, yeah.
That's a cool
border
dog.
That's a cool dog. It was just so...
And you're like, where's like, he going with this? And then we see the dog in the box next to his desk.
I don't know. What kind of dog is that? You know, it's like the way he puts it, it's too fancy.
Like
it's a fancy dog.
Either like a little pool or a Pomeranian. I can't picture it exactly.
Yeah, I think it might be. Yeah, it's just like white with like long white hair.
Not a cool,
it's like it belongs in
quote unquote.
Thing. Not a cool dog.
Right.
Very fancy dog. But the beautiful part is later on, you realize how much he still loves the dog, even though he
Princess?
Has qualms.
It's kind of, I forget the.
I can't remember the name of the dog.
Not that it's a huge deal, but it just made it that more not cool.
Right. Yes. I mean, one of my favorite moments is when he's driving out there. He stops at a payphone booth because it's 1985.
Right.
And he calls Officer Reba, who's literally had the dog maybe for 2 hours at this point, and just wants to say goodbye proper because he didn't know if he had said a sufficient enough goodbye to the dog. I don't know.
No, it's another.
There's these really small, funny moments that make these characters so well rounded,
and
you actually care when they are in peril.
Exactly. I wasn't in love with the tattoo bit on the chest of Eddie.
Oh, okay. Yes. All
I
right.
Didn't
so
love
yeah,
that
that's...
joke, but it does have a nice payoff at the end. But this intro to him at the bar eating like. Penne.
Oh, my goodness.
Eating penne?
Yeah, it might have been my loudest laugh was when his buddy, I got to remember this character, it's Dr. Dre's son, O'Shea Jackson Jr., plays David, and he's the one that has to rally up the son of the main,
who
you know,
just
drug
lost
dealer,
his wife.
Eddie.
He just lost his wife, Joan, and he got a stupid
John.
Tattoo.
So it says John tattoo?
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And it says John instead of Joan. But then David's like, you know what? I'm going to have some of that penne, too.
Yeah.
A penne. And did it come with chicken or anything? No, it was just plain.
But like,
I don't know why.
This bar in the middle of nowhere, you're getting Italian food at the bar. It was just another ridiculous detail that made me laugh. It made me laugh. Penne.
And ultimately, our detective is on the heels of these guys throughout the movie because somebody had overheard them talking about him at the bar.
Trucker, yeah.
So there was a logic to how the story moved.
Yeah.
There's only two instances where I questioned the direction.
Okay.
And, or the edit. And we'll talk about those later. They come up later. But for the most part, I thought it was pretty damn solid. Have you seen Elizabeth Banks' other movies? Because I have not seen Picture Perfect 2, but I did see Charlie's Angels.
Yeah. I think she's a very good director. I think and I've seen some other stuff. What else has she directed? And I thought Pitch Perfect 2 was, as far as those movies go, was fun in like I she definitely gets the job. She's got like 7 director credits.
Oh wow, I thought there was only 2 prior. So you have Movie 43 I never heard of, Just a Little Heart Attack. It looks like those are shorts prior, but her 3 features that are known are, this is by far her best, Cocaine Bear, Charlie's Angels, and Pitch Perfect 2. I haven't heard of Movie 43, but that's the other one that seems to be a feature.
But I digress. I'm looking forward to what else she does, because this one just really nailed, like, visceral tension plus, like, just laugh out loud moments with these grisly scenes.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes is the introduction of the skateboarding gang in the public bathroom of the park. And they try to jump David, and he just beats the crap out of them. Like, this should have... And, like, there's a questionable moment where Eddie's like, are they alive? Because the beating he gave them was also very humorous. It shouldn't have been, but it was. And
no, it was hilarious.
We get out of that, we get one of the other most hilarious characters in the movie. I don't know if his nickname is Stash or something.
Yeah, Stash is the one that leads them to the gazebo where these 3 hooligans have stashed the, you know, bounty that they found.
Yes.
Of drugs.
Yes, yes. They've got it stashed
Kids
in the gazebo,
stashed.
Which is another funny bit. He's like, what's a gazebo? And he describes the gazebo. Very funny. But
all those 3 guys were a lot of fun, I thought. What's so funny is we're introduced to one of them very early. We jumped so ahead of this visitor center where we're introduced to Margot Martindale, and she's getting all gussied up because she's thirsty. She's super thirsty for Jesse Tyler Ferguson's, who I did not recognize at first. It took me like till they were in the woods. I was like, oh my gosh, it's dude from Modern Family, which makes it all the funnier that she's trying to get this guy. They're just not a good match sort of thing. It's so ultimately what I'm trying to get to is the guy that's there kind of stealing stuff and saying, I want a red sucker. She gives him the green.
Yeah.
He was kind of fleshed out, and so was Stash. But the one that wasn't was kind of the big oaf of the 3.
Yeah, which I think...
And his death was the most unexpected, ridiculous death.
Yes.
It didn't involve the bear.
I think his name was like Ponytail or something. I think they all had very obvious like Stash Ponytail.
Yeah, that makes sense. But the way that she is attempting to shoot at the bear, who's like all derp mode. And do you remember what the bear was doing when they opened the door knowing he's there and she's about to shoot it? I need to go back and watch just what the bear is doing, because it seemed like he's just kind of like derpy. He wasn't in vicious mode. He was just kind of like one of those same butterfly moments where he goes from being vicious, wanting the cocaine, to kind of just being high and enjoying existence sort of thing. But then, of course, she shoots through this ponytails had our astonishment.
It's like never ending. The amount of the amount of things that, like, the domino effect from this bear getting cocaine is just insane.
It really is. I don't know how they milked such a fun.
That's the clever part of this movie, is that it has so much to offer.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I want to go back, to the scene with the two kids when they first find the brick. And right before they find it, he's just carving. This is where you might be right him having a crush on her. He's carving something into the tree. We don't actually get to see it. She's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm marking my territory." And she's like, "You better not be taking a poo."
Yeah.
"I'm not taking a poo."
Yeah.
Dude, it's just, like, so perfectly written for kids.
I know.
It was believable. Yeah, those two are too funny together.
Marking his territory. Which shouldn't have been poo anyway. It should have been pee.
Right. That would have made more sense.
That's how you mark your territory.
Let's jump to the first, death scene in the forest, which was Jesse Tyler Ferguson's. This is the one I think most people see in the trailer more than anything. What'd you make of this sequence?
I mean, it's just unbelievable. The little boy up in the tree first, and there's that really great bit where he's like, "Bears can't climb trees." And he's like, "Yes, they can. Yes, they can." And, so the park ranger, obviously, you know, there's so much more to that scene, though, like, where you've got this other relationship going too with the woman from Americans. She's clearly has a crush on him, and so the park rangers are walking, and they have this really great moment. And if you haven't seen the behind the scenes, the making of this scene, it's really great. You should look it up. They've got them like on this great just practical effects where they're being pulled out into different directions. It's super fun to just watch the making of that scene. But he ends up going up the tree. And what does he have cocaine on him? Is that how? And the bear.
So initially, the bear pulls him first, right? Then it kind of ignores him to go for Margot Martindale because she starts to shoot at him. But then he kind of like crawls through an open brick of the cocaine, so it's all over him. And then, of course, when he then climbs the adjacent tree to the poor kid, which is a great moment where the bear is just climbing up to get the kid, and just. Can smell one tree over.
Yeah.
And I jumped over the whole part where it attacks Margot Martindale, slashes her good, gives her a good bite on the rump, and then she's like, she starts running up. I want to get help.
Yes. That's the scene, perfect. I mean, where she's like in one bush, she's in the other. It's so funny.
I mean, it's a bear slasher in a way, especially like the moment there where her son is in the tree and she's behind the tree, but the bear's in the front part of the tree and it begins to climb up and its claws are right by her face. It just felt like a slasher, and it just happened that the bear was,
that's happening during the daytime too, which is,
that's true, it makes it even scarier in a way. Well, of course, the end we do get tonight.
Yes.
I do want to talk about the final act, because I will acknowledge with the it doesn't compare, I guess I would say,
to the
first two. There's just, I don't know how you live up to that. It's a compliment to it, because you can't beat what happened in the first two acts, because it was just so much fun that it did kind of feel anticlimactic.
Right.
After Ray Liotta's guts are splayed and the little bears are ripping him out. That, I mean, I don't know what you can do about that. I don't know how you would fix that, honestly.
That's just it, right? So obviously the real story ended in one way or didn't. You know, I don't know what really happened with all that coke. But that's just it. You're like, how do you wrap this all up? Somewhat of a happy ending, because you do want the little kids to be okay, right? So you have to cover that, and then you have to give some sort of redemption moment to the two thugs, Eddie and David, because they're, even though they're bad, we tolerate them, and like I don't know about you, but like I didn't care about their crimes, you know, like whatever.
No, not at all.
He wanted them to just get away, and their bromance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's especially highlighted. I even think the cop at one point is not that bothered when he's stuck on top of the gazebo, which is just so
another
funny.
Great scene.
Hey, I don't know how he got up there when they ask him. They're, oh, I jumped from that tree. They never show the tree.
which is
they just washed over that.
Completely fine, too, which is completely fine. Yeah. It's even funnier. It is. Like, you jump from a branch onto there. But, like, we don't need to see that.
No. But then him being stuck up there, and when he's, like, about to get down, he's like, the audience just was cracking up at this moment because they both got their guns on each other. And what can he really do from up there? And then, of course, when David's character does try to kind of like make a move.
Oh my God.
And he does shoot.
His fingers.
It's two fingers off of his hand, but they're not next to each other.
And they call that out. They're like, they're not even next to each other. How did that happen?
So ludicrous. I'm cracking up at the same time that I'm worried the bear is going to come from around the corner at any minute.
Yes.
And of course it does. And that's another really fun scene. What did you think about the bear then crashing on the guy? I liked it, but I had a little mixed feelings about
it. It was funny, but it also made me question just the logic behind it. But then I obviously can't complain about that if I just said I was fine with how you jump onto top of a gazebo.
Right. Yes.
But at one point he says its vagina was like on his ear or something.
that doesn't make any sense at all. I think maybe if the bear had fallen the other way, that might have made more sense.
Right. Hopefully, I think everybody in the
maybe
audience
when it
probably
was
thought about
written,
that.
And they changed how it actually was executed. And I do want to note right now, that was a CGI bear, right? They didn't bring in like Bert or Bear, who's in all the movies. That was awesome CGI. Like every time it's close up, I'm 100% on board with thinking that's a real bear. Were there any moments that you did not buy the CGI?
No. I mean, there's a really fun over-the-top scene where the bear is chasing the ambulance.
Oh, my gosh. We got to start from the top of this scene because this is the ultimate scene
but
in the movie,
what
I would say. This is what I'm hearing people talk about more than anything else.
Yes, it is.
You're the jump.
No, I was just going to say there's that was probably, you know, I mean, it's very forgiving, you know. Like, I will say this, though. I bet you they had some sort of practical stand-in, some sort of stuffed thing for here and there.
Yeah.
Because, like, when the bear's laying on top of him, I bet you some of that was, like, practically built. Kind of like how they did Jaws, you know? There's Bruce the Shark. There was a couple Bruce the Sharks.
Yes, and a good moment where that might have been the case was the ambulance drive, the paramedics arrive, right? Hilarious moment where the one goes to Margot Martindale, who's kind of hiding, after they push aside the dead body at the door.
She can speak.
Buh. Buh.
It reminded me of John Candy in The Great Outdoors when he says, "Big bear, chase me. Big bear, big bear, chase me."
Definitely reminiscent of that. Okay, but yeah, the one guy goes to the closet door. I didn't love that the head was in the bucket and fell. I didn't understand what was going on with that at all. But when he does see the bear and he just hilariously, very slowly shuts the door.
Yes.
And like, of course, the bear bursts through it. And then you see his claws by his face. I feel like that was a moment that you're going to get real bear claws there in his face.
Right.
Because we only see the claws sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he's diverted because he sees a red bag.
The red bag, yes.
I didn't put two and two together the first time I saw it, but in the beginning, the only reason that Olaf is saved is because he's distracted by Elsa's red backpack.
Yeah, you're right. that was a great connection for the EMTs to have their red bag. And I mean, but that scene
goodness.
Where Margot flies out of it, flips, and is dragged across
the
asphalt.
The face skid. Oh my gosh, so funny. I'm sorry. I know it's grotesque, but it was all of that from her to end up strapped to the gurney and a meat crayon, I think is what they call it. She was the meat crayon. And then even the one that was driving, she ends up hitting the tree and ejects to her own death. And that poor main paramedic, the guy who went into the closet, his arm is like bitten. And then at the last scene we see him have is just like the stub of the arm pressing down on the ground of the bed. It just was so, it was so gross and fun at the same time.
Yes.
This is around then where I had my first issue. When they're walking to the gazebo and Stash is talking about his relationship, they have really funny exchange, playing 20 questions. I'm done with all that. It was the cut that they make when Stash says Rocky and Joe, these are these characters' real name, Ponytail and you know, the Thief.
Right.
I'm so happy I met Rocky and Joe, and it was all because of, you know, the skills I learned from my mom or something. He had depth or whatever. But then they cut to him, to them. We were going to go to New York City together, and it's the three of them, but one doesn't have the head, and they're kind of sitting out by a barn.
Yeah.
It was just a really weird cut, and nobody really laughed at it. It was one of the few misses. And I didn't think the cut was necessary because I could have just enjoyed it without it, you know? I don't know. Didn't bother you at all?
I don't think it bothered me, but maybe that... I definitely hear you. I think I'd have to see that again to really... I don't know if it really affected me in that moment like that.
There was another moment that was similar, and it was like, why? And it's when we find out that Olaf has been chewed up and spit out, and it's just a quick cut back to him when the bad guys are about to go into the cave. We don't want this to happen to us, what we just saw. And then they cut back to having seen Olaf all dead. It just was weird. It didn't seem necessary at all.
It was also weird that he was able to, like, help out. Like, he had been hanging out in this area. I was under the impression, though, that, like, oh, maybe he can't move. Maybe he's stuck here. But
yeah.
Then he's able to just get up and, like, help them to the cave. And I don't know.
Right.
That part was like,
yeah.
A little beyond
logic.
Like
I said, as they were trying to get to the end, I feel like...
Yeah.
Some machinations were occurring that were not as strong as the rest of how the plot was moving.
Yeah.
But that being said, behind the waterfall, awesome, awesome scene. You know, you can. I mean, when's the last time you saw that? Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah, yeah. That's
will
a good
come
call.
For you. You
that's
know,
a good call.
Love that. My dream remake of Jurassic Park has a scene from the book. I guess they kind of tried to do it a little bit in Lost World. But it's a waterfall a la the Cocaine Bear one or Last of the Mohicans where the T-Rex is trying to get Lex and Tim
through
it but
waterfall.
Can't see because his eyes don't... Lost World tries to do that, but it just kills one of the worker or the hunters. Not nearly as impactful as the scene from the OG book. But because ultimately, those kids wanted to paint behind the waterfall.
Yeah.
That was their whole purpose.
Their whole
and
mission.
They ended up... It ended up happening. It just happened with Ray Liotta's blood painted all over everything.
That's true, yeah. That's true.
That was fun. It felt a little long to me there again. I did enjoy it. It was just like a lot of people cramped in a small space, all lined up. The blocking was, I mean, I don't know what else you do sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I forgive all of its sins in the final act for everything that happened prior. And the soundtrack alone, you got On the Wings of Love as the two are initially driving.
That's
the
fun
duo,
part
the guys.
Of an 80s movie. It's like you've got the most amazing library to pick from.
Absolutely. And you know Elizabeth Banks, she was, you know, an 80s baby. She's probably born in the 70s, I think, but, you know, was listening to the 80s music. You got some... Berlin in there. Berlin. I'm wondering if she consciously picked a Berlin song.
Good call.
But yeah, I mean, I look forward to seeing this one again. I am sad that the likelihood of a sequel is nil, right?
I agree.
Not gonna happen.
And you know, someone's already raced together to put together a knockoff called Cocaine Shark. So
Meth Shark. Isn't it Meth Shark?
No,
I heard
that's
that it
something
was
else. They're also making a Cocaine Shark. And that's the problem here is that they came up with a really good idea, a really good original Hollywood movie that it's going to be diluted by all the
turned into other
B-movies.
Monsters Hunter,
yeah.
Yeah, that's frustrating because, yeah, the people that make Sharknado are making Meth Shark.
Okay.
Heard. But the reason this worked is because it is a one-off and it is based on a true story.
Yes.
You know,
I
don't see this coming. I knew it was a true story going into it. I'd heard it
right.
in the promos or whatever, and I think that really aided in wanting to see it.
Yeah.
And interestingly, I think it has, relative to how much was put into it, it's been doing better than the Marvel movie.
It has
Ant-Man,
been. It's been going up against Disney, and it's been doing very well, which is like what we need. Well, listen, I'm guilty of liking Hollywood blockbuster movies and comic book movies, but I still want the balance. I still want originality, and I want ridiculous movies like this that people question, like, is that going to be any good?
Yeah.
And then it is.
Yes, I completely agree, and I also am a sucker for Marvel, but Iger actually, I think it was yesterday, the day before, was quoted saying, Marvel is just this beautiful honeypot with the mistakes that we're making is sequels when they're not necessary. We did not need, certainly, the second Thor. I don't know if we need it. I actually liked the second Ant-Man, but I don't think that did really great either, and I want to see this new one simply for Jonathan Majors.
I saw it.
Kang?
Yeah.
You saw it, and?
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It doesn't necessarily feel like the first two movies. It's still fun.
Really?
It's
okay.
Still fun, and it's going to set up a lot of things for Phase 5, but...
Did it need to be seen in the theater? Because one of my issues with the Quantumania is just all this blurry color stuff in the background. I feel like it's not one of those must-sees in the theater, but...
I mean, that's... You could argue that, right? Because...
Well, my point is, I went to the theater to see Cocaine
Bear.
Yes. I was excited to do it. It's the same reason I'm kind of wrestling. Do I go to the theater for Scream 6?
You know,
it's like, am I seeing anything new that I can't wait for to come out in streaming or whatever? As much as I love Jenna Ortega now, enough to maybe see it simply because I'm looking forward to her future genre trajectory, you know?
Right. Which, by the way, the rumor mill this week is that Jenna Ortega might be starring in Beetlejuice 2.
That's very exciting.
I know. And it makes so much sense. It almost makes too much sense, which I'm kind of scared
that's
about.
True. Yeah. No, that's perfect. That's awesome. Did you have anything else to say about this lovely, lovely family film known as Cocaine Bear?
I will say that I was so pleasantly surprised. I loved the actors, the story, the cast, that you really should... try to see this one in the theater, like you just said. Like, you should go see this. Don't let people spoil it for you. Not that there's too many spoilers. We're spoiling it right now. But my point is, it's a really fun original movie.
Especially for those of you who downloaded it illegally, go watch it again. Because you won't have any watermarks or any of the crappy qualities. See it for real. With an audience, you're going to love it. But in the meantime, stay alive.